89.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Once again, especially those that are just tuning in, we bid you welcome to our broadcast for the day. We always appreciate you when you join us on our broadcast. All our shows back to back on this dial. You should know that we have the radio broadcast rights to the World Cup, so we'll be showing, we'll be running commentaries for the World Cup here on the radio. Major games. The opening ceremony starts Sunday, right? The other games, some of them will be starting as early as 10:45 a.m. So all your regular shows would not be coming your way on such days. That games will be starting at 10:45 a.m. You should know that, you know, on days like that, What's Up Lagos definitely will not come your way. Sunnyside will not come. Hard Facts will not come, because some of those days you have games from the morning till late into the evening, and we have guys here that are capable of making sure that in case you can't watch the game on TV, of course you're covered on the radio, because we've got you. Many thanks to our sponsors and our partners. We need more. If you'd like to be a partner on our live coverage of World Cup Qatar 2022 starting Sunday, please reach out to us here, or just send me an email, sheriff@nigeriainfo.fm. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Nice to have you here. It's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire, and today we're doing men's health, because in 2 days' time it'll be International Men's Day, right? And we want to focus our attention on men. You should know that research has shown that men are less likely to seek health care than women. That's according to research. It's not guesswork. Men are less likely to seek health care. If they are sick, if anything is going on, they are less likely to seek help than women. Men also tend to exhibit a fear of diagnosis. They just have six-packs. They can fear a lot because they are too nervous to find out what might be wrong. That's according to research by summitmedical.com as well. So mental health is one of the most stigmatized issues affecting men, according to research as well. So there's a lot around men. Let me give you a few more, you know, numbers. My guest may have to expatiate further on those numbers. According to the CDC, 350,000 men die of cardiovascular diseases each year. More than 700,000 men are diagnosed with cancer each year. 300,000 of those cases will result in death. This is according to Men's Health Resource Center. 230,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year. It's the second leading cause of death in men. That's according to cancer.org. So that's why we've said, look, we don't talk about men's health as often as we should. Because, look, research has shown that men, you know, there are many issues that affect men and boys, but society's expectations and traditional gender roles, expectations of men, are why many men and boys in Nigeria in particular, and the rest of the world in general, are less likely to seek help, you know, for their mental health problems. That's talking about mental health now. This also leads to more men relying on alcohol, more men finding solace in drugs to cope with their mental health issues or even their medical health problems. They would rather, you know, they go and meet one Alagbo somewhere to give them I don't know what they call it, but she mix all sorts of things. I have Dr. Timileyin Nkoya on the show this morning. He was here last week, and we promised to have him back here today, and he's there again. International Men's Day in 2 days. Dr. Timileyin, good morning to you first and foremost. Good morning, and thank you for making it back here.
All right, good morning, Sheriff, and good morning to everyone listening. It's always a pleasure to be here and to be able to contribute to conversations of this nature. Always excited to do this.
So you're a doctor. I mean, tell me if there's anything to correct in the numbers that I read out earlier. 700,000 men diagnosed with cancer each year, 300,000 cause of death, 350,000 men die of cardiovascular diseases. I mean, men have had to go through a lot simply because they're men.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm quite excited that we're also having this conversation, because it's important that men also find solace in conversations like this, because we oftentimes will shy away from things like this. And I totally agree with you in terms of the health-seeking behavior of men. It's actually foundationally true that men are less likely to seek health care when compared to women, for so many reasons, sociocultural reasons. The fact that men are seen as superheroes, they're seen as individuals that wear capes, they're seen as this, they're seen as though they have extraordinary strength and things of those nature. But at the end of the day, men are still human beings. And so it's important that we're able to get back to that point wherein we are able to view things properly. But to speak a bit more to some of the stats that you reeled out, which are quite spot on, and put it in perspective, to say that one out of every four deaths for men is as a result of cardiovascular issues. To sort of deconstruct that, what that simply means is that for the men is that their hearts fail. And we hear of these things time and time again, wherein an individual just seemingly is walking safely, and you just hear that they slump, or that they have a heart attack, or that they suffer from a stroke. And largely also, it fits into what we started with about the fact that men oftentimes would rather not take their health as seriously as they should. And we oftentimes excuse it away due to the hustle and bustle and the fact that you have to put food on the table and there's so much that needs to be done. But one of the things that this conversation would help us do is to help us take a back seat and take a look at it, that, okay, what can we do differently? Do we continue like this, with this seeming perception of men wearing capes, but yet you find them falling dead?
I mean, this is really scary. If you open up the phone lines now for men to tell us their health-seeking behavior, or whether they have questions about their health. In fact, we don't even need to open up the phone. I'm not even going to open it up. Because even when we... So this is the reason. Even when we discuss women's health, you find out that most people that call in are the men. Let me tell you what I think is happening. Women would rather they go to the hospital.
Absolutely.
To go and find out these things from their doctor, from the healthcare, you know, giver. But men, they would stay and expect us to bring topic on the radio before we start talking about. We'll come to these, some of the diseases one after the other. But let me, I have a few more stats to reel out. 12.4, according to islandmaternity.com, 12.4% of men are in fair or poor health. This is a global stat. 31.6% of men have had five or more drinks in one day, or at least one occasion in one year. The child would drink, Chani. I don't know what's wrong with them. 17.8% are smokers, and 34.5% are obese. These factors, why do we have it in men? I mean, look, you can control whether you want to be a drinker or you want to be a smoker. Nobody wrote on your forehead that you must be a drinker. I mean, why do men, apart from society pressure, apart from expectations from people, from family, we know that men show that a lot.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're a man in your family, and everybody expects you to fulfill some responsibilities and all
billions.
Of that, yeah, you know, but can't men say that, no, I am not going to let these things push me into habits that could compromise my health?
All right, and that's really, really good for us to look at, because the truth is that at the end of the day, everyone needs an outlet. You either go with a healthy outlet or an unhealthy one. You are, as a human being, subject to needing an avenue for you to express some of the things that you are bottling up. Because if you don't, there's a tendency that you either would implode or explode, or you begin to lash out and things like that. So everyone, particularly men in this scenario, in the light of everything that they have to struggle with, would look for an outlet. Unfortunately, you find a lot of individuals, and men in this case, going in the direction of unhealthy choices. So you find them subscribing to some of these elements, sometimes even psychoactive substances, in an attempt to try to cope with some of these things. But even before we get there, and this is also statistically true, is that from the basic idea of healthy eating, men are more likely to subscribe to unhealthy choices. So statistically, it's been shown that women are more likely to take fruits and vegetables and things like that. And men, on the other hand, rather would prefer to consume meat and, you know, some of these.
All of those things.
Exactly, that are seemingly unhealthy things, so to speak. And so that also can feed into the fact that men have some ego that sort of drives them to be more risky in terms of the behavior that they have. So we've talked about the health-seeking behavior.
Yeah.
We also must talk about the fact that men have a tendency to take more risks than women will do. Because, you know, you tell everybody that there's the need to eat healthy, you find in many cases that women are more likely to do that, but men most likely would say, nah, I'll be fine. I can do this. I can eat this. I can do this. You know, a man only dies once. And, you know, find that, you know, let me just continue to live this life. I cannot come and kill myself, you know. And you just find that risk-taking behavior that perhaps we sometimes just subscribe to financial issues, you find it playing out even with health choices. So men also are more likely to take unhealthy decisions in terms of what they do on a daily basis, in terms of the lifestyle that they actually live in on a daily basis. So those two things tend to play into the fact that you find men to be more and tilting more towards substances, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's a psychoactive substance. They are looking for an outlet. And because they are also men, there's a tendency that they take riskier options in terms of dealing with some of these things.
I like the unhealthy conversation because that's where we're going now. Before we do that, on the issue of men's ability to cope with mental health and seek treatment, the data that I have here reveals that more than twice as many males die from suicide. More men commit suicide than women, and it's really sad. But as it is the case with men, even in public discourse, even in public conversation, you don't have this kind of conversation about men and what they've had to, what they are dealing with, what how society can help men speak out more. And I feel compelled to want to open the phone lines now to help them feel, speak out more, but. Irani, I have other things that I want to talk about men as well, because it's time we started some really tough conversations around men. It's time everybody got together and you know, hit the nail on the head about men's mental health, men's health-taking ability, because if a man does not seek help and you're the wife or you're the girlfriend, apart from you losing your lover, imagine the dependence. You know, that would also lose that same person. So there's a need for us to be very intentional about conversation around men. Let's talk about some of the things that all these habits, some of the impacts on men's health. Let's talk about the cardiovascular one that we started with. Men just slumping and dying. What is cardiovascular disease? What are these diseases? And what are the implications of not paying attention, too much attention to them?
All right, and I think it's really, really good that we do that, because one of the things that we had mentioned earlier is that it's responsible for 1 in 4 deaths. So as much as 25% of male deaths as a result of these cardiovascular issues.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of these cardiovascular issues tend to be stealth, meaning that they are quite silent. On the low, so to speak, and then the man doesn't perhaps even know that that is happening, and he's not paying any attention to that. But to simplify cardiovascular diseases, what we're simply saying is that they are heart-related issues. Now, and the heart is so important. It's that organ that works from birth to death. It serves you your entire life without going on break. And we must take very good care of it. And I always like to say that in conversations about men's health, whilst we're talking about the behavior, whilst we're talking about the risk appetite of the men, it really starts with knowing your numbers. So as a man, I know you know your phone number. More so, I know you know your account number. But more importantly, you should also know your health numbers. You should know. You shouldn't wait until you are pushed to the brink or until something happens that is monumental before you then find out that certain things are happening. Because sadly, the instances that we have of individuals coming down with a stroke or with a heart attack, it did not start when that incident occurred. It didn't just happen overnight. It must have been a build-up over time. And if you don't check, you wouldn't find those things. So it's important that a very huge takeaway for men, and like we said last week jokingly that, you know, this conversation is not just for men, but it's for the women that love the men as well.
Right.
We must ensure that our men are getting those checks done. You should know what your numbers are, what's your blood pressure, what's your blood sugar level, what's your cholesterol level like. And the only way to find out is actually to check those numbers.
For the women, you need to push, what Dr. Gunkwa is saying, that you need to push the men in your life to go and find out their numbers. What are these things? What are these numbers we're talking about?
So there are 4 of them that are foundational. So it means that as a man, you want to know what your blood pressure is. So you want to ensure that you find out what your blood pressure is and that you're checking that quite consistently. Depending on the age, it would determine the frequency with which you're checking. So you want to know exactly what your blood pressure numbers are so that you can tell whether you can benchmark it against whether you're hypertensive or not. So you also want to know what your blood sugar level is. You can either do that fasting, or you can also do a couple of other investigations that fall into that. Thirdly, you also want to check your cholesterol level, because the more cholesterol buildup that the individual has, the more likely it is that it will also impact the heart in terms of intensifying the pressure in getting blood across the entire body. So you also want to check that. And then lastly, as a man, you also want to check your body mass index.
That's BMI.
Yes, your BMI. Because it's possible that when we have weight conversations, we oftentimes sadly just relegate that, oh, it's women that want to lose weight and check their weight and all of that. Men also can be overweight and obese. And you mentioned this earlier about obesity also being a factor, you know, in the last 30 or 40 years, those numbers have tripled when it comes to individuals that fall into that category as well. And so those are numbers you want to check. You want to check your blood pressure, you want to check your blood sugar, your cholesterol level, and then your body mass index before we then get to, perhaps if time would permit, the prostate. So that's also something that you want to find out your numbers.
Yes. How, before we get to prostate, it's 5:21. My goodness, 8:21 rather. I was going to allow us to talk about, because we talk about the heart now, I was going to allow us to talk about brain, you know,
the mental health.
The mental health and what this could do. Talk about stroke, talk about all of those things, stress level and all. I mean, how can men manage those? Because men will always want to be men. They will always want to hustle. They will always say, I'm okay. Two hours of sleep. I'm okay. I'm fine. But I'll be up. I'll be up and about. Are they hustle? As if it's a thing of pride. You exactly. say you are hustling. I mean, how can men better plan their, quote, hustling?
So that's a very exhaustive conversation if we're actually being sincere, because it would take a while to convince the man otherwise, because you are trying to tell him that he needs to create a balance.
Yeah.
There needs to be met here, and yet you are telling me that, you know, I can't go on like
you
this.
Know.
So who's going to meet all of these needs?
Exactly.
So it's a very real conversation to have with the men. But one of the things I always like to say is this, and this is to every man out there. Whilst you are working on your work ethic, please also work on your rest ethic. Averagely, men typically don't know how to rest. You find that on the average, a lot of individuals are walking around the clock. And like you rightly said, it's something that we often also take pride in. You know, a man tells you, I was up to like 4 a.m. yesterday, and you know, and by 6 a.m. I was already up again and I was out. And it's almost as though an influencer says, oh, I've been working for the last 5 years. I've never gone on leave and all of that. And we almost seem as though we are normalizing the fact that you don't go on breaks and you just keep working and working and working. And that almost seems like a test of how tough you are as a man. And some individuals wear it as a chip on their shoulder in that sense. But one of the things that is very important is to know that whilst you are working or developing a work ethic, you must also develop a rest ethic. You must learn to rest. If you don't do it deliberately, you most likely will never find the time for it. There's a very good saying that I think also sort of captures that it is when you don't have the time to rest, that's the best time to rest. Like when you get into those frames wherein it's as if I don't have any time to relax, that's when you should tell yourself that, oh boy, you actually need to take a break at this point before you eventually break down.
That's Mkoya. Let's take this break now. We need to take a break right now. We have to take that break. When we return from this break, we'll probably give men... I'm tempted to want to force men to go to the hospital today. I don't want to. but we'll give men to talk. We'll give them chance to say one or two things as regards how they manage their health. I know a couple of people have this thing that they used to measure this thing by themselves. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's okay to have a personal blood pressure monitor.
Okay. Blood pressure monitor. That's what it's called. If that's okay, if that's what you do, we'd like to hear if you have those as well. If you have other things that you'd like to share concerning your health management, you can share with us. We'll be right back, Lagos. Stay with us.
Fire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
It is Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire 99.3. And I'm Sheriff Quadri, Dr. Oluwatimilenyo Gunkoya from Total Health Trust is here in the studio. Dr. Gunkoya, thank you again for coming.
Thank
Second
you for
week
me.
In a row. You have been amazing. I mean, I love having health conversation with you. It's always quite informative. So before I come to the telephone lines, I've got two questions. One on, I'm going to go back to the heart. Lately, a lawmaker here in Lagos State died at the political campaign ground. He just slumped and he died. That's one of the things that we were talking about. Then we'll talk about prostate, which is also very important to men. So, Dr. Ngoi, let's start with the heart. How can men now, since you said that some of these heart issues, they are stealth, they are quiet, they are underground, you may not even know, but how can one take care of the heart?
And that's an excellent question, because I think the huge learning point for us all is that we know that, oh, I should take care of the heart. We know the heart is important and all of that, but the how is very key. Is that so? Going forward, what are the things that I should bear in mind as it pertains to my heart? And I think excellent preamble to that is to mention the fact that the heart is a muscular organ. So like every other muscle, you can work it, you can cater to it, you can nurture it, you can keep it prime, so to speak, in that sense. And so it means that, say for example, and let's start with exercising, that it's not just an attempt to try to lose weight. It's also a very crucial aspect of keeping the heart as healthy as possible. Because when you exercise, what you are really doing for the heart is, because it's a muscular organ, you are priming it, so to speak. And one of the after effects of that is that if an individual is exercising regularly, consistently, is that their heart rate gets to drop gradually. And the implication of that is that the heart is telling you, kudos, I don't have to work as much to get blood across the entire body because you are exercising. I'm not going at 100 beats per minute. At this point, I'm going at about 60 something. And I'm trying to tell you that, oh, the exercise you're doing is very helpful, because ultimately, some of these exercises are cardioprotective, meaning that they protect the heart just because you are actually doing them. So you are skipping, you're jogging, you are taking brisk walks and things like that. It does help in terms of protecting the heart. It's also important that we watch what we eat. We cannot overemphasize that. The need to eat a heart-healthy diet is absolutely critical. And then we also mentioned earlier,
like fry a lot of dodo and fry a lot of egg
and then shaki.
And shaki and abondi.
So those are the things. And it's so important, because for some men, it's a sign that, you know, you are doing well.
If they don't have all of those things in their plates,
exactly. But unfortunately, we're hurting ourselves as opposed to helping ourselves when we consume a lot of all of those things. So it's important that we're taking and making better decisions as men in terms of trying to protect the heart by checking what we're eating. You also want to keep a healthy weight, and this isn't just that, because for some men, what you have is that a man tells you that if I'm eating well, if I'm doing well, then my tummy, you know, it should be
small round thing.
Exactly. You know? But all of those things are unhealthy weight. And ultimately what it does is that it puts extra pressure on the heart. So you don't want to get into the category of being overweight or obese. You want to try as much as possible to maintain a healthy BMI.
Right. Let me repeat one of the things that you said about exercising. Because somebody listening would say, okay, I don't need exercise. I'm okay. I'm slim. I'm this. But you said that it's not always about, you know, losing weight or everything. It's also about giving your improving the heart health.
Health, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I hope people understand that. Let me go to WhatsApp first. I'll come to the telephone in a moment. 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993, and 01277-3993. Female only line is 01465-7190. We have said it. You females, please push the men in your lives to go and know their numbers. It's very important. Felix Omikurudu says, I'm guilty in all the doctor has said. I will not go for a checkup because I understand my body physiology. I started sporting activity early. I'm 49 plus, but I do not think that younger people can't do on site. I don't understand about. So as an engineer, well read, I spaced my children and determined the sex through my knowledge of biology. I'm very active. In other room too, my folks call me Ekun, and Egun Mogaji. It's really so serious. He's saying that he's been able to understand his physiology But he said he will not go for checkup because he said he understands its physiology.
So that's a misnomer that we should address. It's that as individuals, we should actually get those checks done.
He thinks that because he's Egumogaji now, his heart is very healthy.
Because he can do an audition. We don't want a scenario whereby he just drops.
You do understand. I mean, we've actually even seen people jogging and they dropped.
Exactly.
So what are you saying, Egumogaji? Let me call you that, since that's what you've called yourself. I'm going to go to the telephone now. Let's take a few calls. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, I'm just laughing. Anyway, I just want to continue this morning. That,
yes, please.
Or ask, rather. The doctor was talking about, both of you are talking about when you eat shaki, do all that, you have that. If the tummy, you know, doesn't come out, that means you haven't shown.
And we know that women do it deliberately.
Oh, hold on. So, I want to ask. My husband is a sports enthusiast, and he's 46, and he does his morning jogging and all that for leaving for work. But then his tummy doesn't go down. You tell his occupational hazard because
occupational hazard.
Comes back in the evening, he has to eat, you know. So
yeah.
I don't know why he hasn't come down. That's the question I want to put to the doctor.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. And you know, we should also ask her because she has also been indicted as a culprit in this matter. Well, let me just quickly say this. One of the commonest causes of unhealthy weight gain when it comes to abdominal protuberance is eating late at night. So it means that even though this young man, let me be very careful in saying that because he's already 46, but even though this individual is exercising, quote unquote, if he continues to have his heavier meal as his late meal or as his last meal for the day, we will continue to have this problem. So it means that whatever he's going to have as his main meal for the day, as a heavier meal, it should be earlier in the day.
Okay.
If you continue to eat late at night, continue to have your heaviest meal for the day at the wee hours of the night, you most likely would have your abdomen protruding. It most likely will be the case, even though you are exercising in the morning. Because what happens is that if you continue to do that, you give the abdomen and the entire gastrointestinal system very limited time to digest properly what you have consumed. And for some individuals, right after they have eaten this meal, they just close for the day. They either sleep off or just walk into the bedroom and that's the end. So you haven't given the entire system the requisite amount of time to digest properly what you have consumed. So even though he's exercising in the morning, we also need to watch what he's consuming at night.
Brilliant. Tolu from Aja says, for someone who goes through Lagos and office stress from Monday through Friday, I want to ask, is it ideal for such person to go and exercise on Saturday and Sunday, whereas he should be resting? I mean, he's saying that, I mean, you should be resting Saturday, Sunday. Why? I mean, you've stressed yourself all week. You've done the exercise all week.
Just come and rest. But I'm glad that Tolu mentioned this because it's also often found that individuals have made exercise synonymous with weekends. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You don't eat only on weekends. You eat every day.
That's right.
So you don't eat only Saturdays and Sundays. You eat Monday to Friday. Ideally, you should also build up an exercise routine on a daily basis. And I always like to say, you don't have to jog around Lagos or jog across the bridge. There are things that you can do within the confines of your home that you can deliberately do. So if you have a skipping rope, for example, that's something you can do in the house.
That's
you can
right.
do some 20 minutes just before you take your shower in the morning. There are things you can do, and you must subscribe to those things and don't wait until Saturday and Sunday, because the entire week, like she said or he said, can be very stressful.
That's right.
And so you most likely are tempted to just want to
Is there any need to exercise again after going through all of that? I mean, commuting from your house to office Monday through Friday, saying that, do I need to exercise again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is also a question I get asked frequently, is that, I have to come down the bus stop, I have to
walk,
I have to do this, I have to do that, and all of that. But sadly, strenuous activity doesn't equate exercise. I've said that again for emphasis.
Please say that again.
Strenuous activity does not equate exercise. For it to be exercise, it should be rhythmic, consistent, and follow a particular pattern so that your heart is also involved in that particular activity. So strenuous activities do not equate exercise.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I bossed some people.
You have bossed a lot of people. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Okay, so that now that that is out of the bag, some people say, is your own, you are saying? They be telling you, you are just talking to yourself. Because you cannot come and kill themselves.
Interestingly, I think this was on social media recently that, you know, why bother going to the gym and paying 20,000 naira when you can just walk into a construction site and carry... And then they would even pay you afterwards. But, you know, what would lead to such thinking is that people do not know that strenuous activity is an exercise. So if you go there and you lift headpans for the entire day and they pay you 2K at the end of the day, you haven't exercised.
Oh, wow. Dr. Oluwatimilenye Gokoya, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gokoya is on Total Health Trust. Thank you so much again. I'm Sharif Quadri. I'll see you on Monday. Thank you for being a part of our show this morning.